I'm Michelle.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Black Girls Vibe. Andrea, how goes it?
It's going just fine, Michelle. How's it going over there?
It is going pretty well. I hear there's a hot girl summer going on. How's yours going?
Oh, my goodness. It's
Well, if it's not a hot girl summer, it's certainly a hot summer. It's
pretty brutal.
Yeah.
I'm just counting down the days, these dog days of summer, as to when we can quickly get out of them, because this heat and humidity is not our friend.
It's not for the faint of heart at all. So we hope that folks are out there hydrating and staying cool, keeping cool. Now, Niecy Nash actually posted this pretty funny video on Instagram. We may have to share it on our page. Her response to, I guess, getting overheated overnight because it was just so hot in her bedroom. But yeah, we'll post that in relation to this hot girl summer we're having. So there's been a little bit going on sports-wise that we need to catch up on and talk about.
Yeah, just a little. Where shall we begin?
You know what? Let's start where I think we probably left off was the NBA. When we last left things, the Raptors had reigned supreme over the NBA landscape. And the big question was, what were players, including Kawhi, going to do in free agency?
Mm-hmm.
We now have the answers to those questions.
Yes.
Much to the chagrin of the Raptors and the Lakers.
And, oh, especially the Lakers, I think more so.
Salty. I mean, Morton's, the cylindrical, like the big one.
Yes.
Yeah, like that salty, just real salty about Kawhi's decision to join the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And to stealthily recruit Paul George.
Yeah. It's a pair that, you know, we had talked about the, will he go home? He's talking about he wants to go home. But the Paul George pairing, I think, just blindsided a lot of folks. But it makes sense because, you know, he had talked about wanting to play in L.A.
Yep.
California guy.
Yep.
And so here they both are now with the Clippers.
They are. I will admit, I saw him going back to and predicted in public spaces that he would return to the Raptors.
Well, I too made that same prediction.
Yeah.
I do at one point recall making a statement that, quote, home is overrated.
That got said. That was in fact that was captured on video, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was.
So he's going there. He it sounds like he, in an 11th hour effort, was able to get Paul George single-handedly was able to get Paul George out of his contract with OKC.
Right? Like, that was pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive. And I don't know if I posted on our page, our Facebook page. I think I did. The fact that there are reports now saying that one thing that detracted or made L.A., the Lakers, less attractive to Kawhi was the fact that Magic was running his gums about the fact that Kawhi and his people had reached out to him.
Right. Which was the one thing that had been reported, and I don't recall if it was a statement that Kawhi had made himself or his uncle. I'm not sure. But it was he has this private lifestyle.
Extremely.
Personally and then professionally, he does what he needs to do on the court and he handles his business and that's it. So I do remember reading that it was asked of all the teams that he was talking to just remain silent. And so, you know, I wonder if that is the thing that, I don't know, that kind of steered him away from the Lakers, if that was a just, you know, some isolated you know, I told you not to talk. Or if it was like some, well, if I can't trust you to keep this in confidence, then what does that...
What else? Yeah. What I find interesting about that is because of Magic's specific relationship with the Lakers right now, like it's one thing for Kawhi to have the expectation that teams would be quiet, but Magic isn't an official Lakers representative at this point.
Right.
So the expectation for him on one hand, Magic should have the wherewithal to know that whatever he does, anybody in Kawhi's position is going to attribute to the organization he's trying to, that's trying to recruit him.
Mm-hmm.
But the same, you know, at the same time, is it fair to hold Magic as like John Q, not John Q Public, because that's certainly not what he is in this situation. But Magic's not a part of the organization. So that's the risk you're taking when you deal with somebody who's not a part of the organization.
True. That's true. It's kind of a catch 22.
It's a catch 22. And Magic, I sense, is kind of on the outs with the Lakers. I think that he and Jeannie are making nice for public purposes. But even at the NBA Awards, I think I read an article that said that they were sitting at different tables and they never made their way to one another.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't think all is well in Lakerland in that sense.
Well, given his departure and how he departed, and then if this played some role or factor in Kawhi not coming to the Lakers, then I could see how.
Yeah.
If the relationship wasn't sour before, it definitely is now.
Now, could Magic have hushed up? Absolutely. Absolutely. It is also Magic.
Right.
Like, come on. It's also Magic. So, like, you know, at some point, like, you have to kind of meet people where they are. And, you know, I think we've all learned with Magic that Magic is going to do what Magic wants to do. And he's going to say what he wants to say.
Right.
And it's not always going to be to the pleasure of the people that he's referring to. But knowing Kawhi, as we've all gotten to know him and observe him, you know, yeah, it's reasonable. Magic should have known that Kawhi wouldn't have wanted it published that he was seeking dialogue with him. So I vacillate on it, frankly.
I know. But he's one of the few players who we saw kind of actually go through the process, right? The free agency process. It was right. Like when free agency hit, it was boom, 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 boom. This player's going this way, this place. Oh, he's signing where? For what? And I think we were like by what, the first 24 hours or something insane that all these, you know, the Durants and, you know, all these other players had signed these contracts for this crazy amount. And so he mm-hmm. was the mm-hmm. only one kind of left towards the end of the free agency period who was like a mystery. Like, well, where is he going?
Yeah. 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 So, well, congrats to the Clippers for the coup that they have exacted and the stealth way in which they did it, frankly.
Yep.
They and Kawhi, as I think he orchestrated, to the extent that there was so much silence around the process. I think that was all per his insistence. But between them recruiting Paul George and Kawhi, having Doc Rivers as their coach and mm-hmm. Steve Ballmer as their owner, I mean, the sky's the limit for this team.
It is, and they're going to be exciting. They already had the kind of renewed interest if you weren't a diehard Clippers fan from, you know, going to Clippers Lakers. I think this will give them or has given them a resurgence. Now having definitely the newer owner.
Sure.
But it's good to see just the dynamic, I think, with Doc. Doc has been one of my favorites and definitely as a coach, I like to see him do well. So I think both Kawhi and Paul George are in a good place. And sure. The whole team and the whole organization, I think, is in a good place overall.
Agreed. So much to look forward to see there. But outside of the Clippers, there were some other players that came together during the course of free agency. We had just in the same facility, LeBron and the Brow. I'm sorry. Anthony Davis. My bad.
Braun and Brow. Yes.
Braun and Brow are teaming up with the Lakers at the that should be pretty interesting too. It's not clear to me. I've said it to people over the course of the last several weeks. I'm still not clear who's bringing up the ball.
I don't think they are either.
Yeah. I you know, and people are predicting that LeBron is on track to have a monster season. Like he's slimmed down, he's back in shape. That he never really was back in shape once he came back from his 17 game absence. Mm-hmm. So people are expecting big things from LeBron this season. You add Anthony Davis to the mix. Did they bring Rondo back?
They brought Rondo back, I think, maybe for, I think it was a year, if I recall. Yeah. But he's back. Yeah. They got Danny Green.
Yep.
I think he has a multi-year contract. There are probably some others. But, they did trade quite a bit to get the brow over.
They sent the whole team to the Pelican. Like
they did.
The current and future team. All
they did. They did.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is. So that's one, like you said, one pairing in the West. Who else? We already talked Paul George and Kawhi.
Well, we have, interestingly, in H-Town, we have James Harden, the Beard, and Westbrook teamed up yet again.
Mm-hmm.
After having played together, I think that was, it feels like it was longer, but I think they were only together 3 seasons with OKC.
Right.
So the part of the band is back together. 2/3 of the band, the OKC band, the original trio in OKC, they're back together.
If they get that third part of the trio back.
Miracles. Miracles. Signs and wonders.
Oh, goodness.
Signs and wonders. And CP3,
mm-hmm.
It is now with OKC.
And probably will be.
And I just feel like he's about to have kind of this like mellow level transition and fade away.
Yep.
He's washed.
Yeah, it's unfortunate though. Just to kind of, you know, the last few years, just watching how his career has played out, especially this past season.
Absolutely.
But yeah, the Westbrook move was, of course, interesting. Just like you said, pairing him back with Harden. But then, yeah, so now with Chris Paul and now you're basically starting over with a whole young team in OKC.
Sure.
So what, I don't remember how many years he's been in the league. But a longtime veteran. It's an interesting place to find himself at this point in his career.
Longtime veteran, been a little injury prone here recently, has mm-hmm. clearly lost his first, you know, step, was at the height of his career, like an elite, you know, the elite point guard, right?
Yeah.
A standard bearer. But, you know, that time has passed. I hate to say it. I certainly don't begrudge anybody's pursuit of a ring, but it's hard for me to imagine a scenario at this point in which CP3 ever gets a ring.
Yeah, because his contract, it's who takes that on? And then can they even get anybody else? If you talk about pairing him with another, high caliber player, or maybe if some, again, in OKC, but then knowing what the West kind of already has in the Western Conference and these other teams now, it's the what does that look like? I mean, OKC are they even making the playoffs?
Right, I'm not sure they are.
Right, so yeah, the hopes for a ring, like you said, it's just, does that even happen for him at this point?
Yeah, it's tragic given where we know he was just, I mean, if you talk in terms of 5 or 6 years ago. I mean, recall that he only ends up with the Clippers because the NBA, the league, nixed the deal that would have sent him from the Pelicans to the Lakers.
Right.
And imagine what his career looks like if he had actually made it, like been with the Lakers and had some overlap with Kobe. It'd be interesting to have seen what that dynamic would have looked like, but we'll never know. We'll never know.
No, unfortunately.
Other pairings that occurred as a result of free agency, KD
mm-hmm.
and Kyrie
mm-hmm.
are in Brooklyn now.
Yep.
I don't think there was ever a chance they were going to the Knicks.
I know.
I never thought that.
Me either. But, right, because anyway. Who's going to the
Knicks? I mean, as long as you know, a pox on their house as long as James Dolan is the owner.
Right.
So, yeah, I never saw that scenario playing out. Although Dolan was saying maybe it's trying to save face now, but there were reports that they didn't consider once KD got injured, like they were less interested in KD, and so they never really pursued him. But it seems as though the thing was KD never legit showed an interest in the Knicks, like that just never happened, which doesn't surprise me.
No. But yeah, so he's now East Coast or East Conference. We'll have to wait a year at least to kind of see where he is with the recovering from his injury.
That's right.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see them play and what happens with the Nets when he's back.
Yeah. Do you think the Nets make the playoffs with Kyrie at the helm solely without KD?
I could potentially see them maybe 7-8 seed, maybe. Yeah. But then you get the Milwaukee's or the 76, somebody, you know, on the 1-2 seed. And then I don't see them. I can see them squeaking in 7-8. I don't see them coming out of the first round.
Facts. I agree. 7-8, first round exit. I think that's the ceiling for their season.
Yeah. Which is probably what they're, I wouldn't say that's what they're expecting, but. they should be expecting to win.
Right.
The whole thing.
That's right. That's right. Uh-oh. But realistically.
Realistically.
let's just bring that on down. So yeah, those are some of the major pairings that happened as a result of free agency. Another event that has happened as a result, since we last talked, is Wimbledon.
Yes. We had a little tennis
action across the pond. And our girl Serena almost had it.
Almost
until she didn't. And when she didn't have it, she really didn't have it.
No. Played lights out in the semifinal.
Yes.
And then.
Yes. And then got Molly whopped in the finals. I mean, that wasn't even. Hats off to Simona Halep. I mean, she played out of this world. She had a great game. She had a great match.
She did. She had the A++ game, and that she was just on it. Like, she was reading everything, anticipating everything. She had, minimal unforced errors, so she just played a solid match and one that was under an hour.
You're right. I mean, quick work. She did quick work of our girl. So, you know, that brings up, we've been posting on our page, or we posted on our page when it happened, that in the post-match presser, a reporter dared to ask Serena about Billie Jean King's comments around Serena's off the court activities, as far as being a wife, being a mother, being an entrepreneur, being promoting social justice, that she'd like to see, Billie Jean King would like to see her just focus on tennis, mm-hmm. and put those other things, stop being so much of a celebrity and really just focus on matters on the court. And Serena's response to that, as folks likely know by now, was, the minute I stop being an advocate for people and working in these, you know, for equality, it's the day I'm in the grave. I'm in the ground.
Basically.
So Serena makes it very clear that she's not here for Billie Jean King's advice on this particular matter. So what are your thoughts around what obstacles might be keeping Serena from tying Margaret Court's record at this point?
So I think at this point it's in her head.
Mm-hmm.
We all know, because she's been very vocal and open about the health issues that she went through giving birth to her daughter. Mm-hmm. And then just experiencing motherhood. I mean, just physically, she's not the same.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So I think it's more of, while she still can play at, 38, I believe?
Yes.
37, 38 years old.
Yes.
I mean, clearly she's still performing well. It's risking the injuries. And can she stay healthy? But I think it's more of the mental of, for her, you know, how do you balance the pre-Olympia Serena physically to where she is now?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the body's just not the same. She's a little older now. And so I think if she can find the right headspace in that, and I don't know if it's playing more matches, because then is she risking injury playing and
That's
being
right.
strategic about what the other matches are and timing those. It seemed like playing doubles or mixed doubles with Andy Murray at Wimbledon may have helped some get her through, and probably just luck of the draw too at Wimbledon. But for me, I think it just sounds like it's mental. She could totally do it. I mean, she's getting there. She's getting to the finals of these Grand Slams.
Right, right.
So it's not a case of, but when she's there.
Right, right.
It goes south quickly. I don't know.
It does. I mean, as brilliantly as she played, particularly in like the semifinal round at Wimbledon,
mm-hmm.
you see like the opposite of that in the finals, where you know she's been to the dance far too many times to not have some familiarity with the mentality it takes to win.
Right.
So it's not whether she knows what to do, right? So I agree. I think there's just some type of mental block, especially when you're trying to chase history.
Right.
This is a fairly long-standing record that Margaret Court has, 24 Grand Slam, singles Grand Slam wins. And we know Serena has the ability to handily, I mean, if she wanted to, Serena could very easily win the U.S. Open and then in early 2019 win the Australian. And we're, you know, like, she's got her 25. She is the record bearer singularly. She has that in her.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the window is closing more so to the extent, less because of a decline in her physical capability, because she's getting to these finals. We also see the young Thundercats, like the Coco Gauffs, encroaching.
Right.
And, you know, hats off to her for making it to the second week of Wimbledon, 15 years old, has a lot of that Williams sister spirit in her
mm-hmm.
as well. But, you know, Serena has to be looking in the rear view and seeing the Naomis and the Cocos coming.
Right.
And I'm wondering how much of that is in her head as well.
I would think some of it is. I mean, Simona is 10 years Serena's junior, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
And so are they, so yeah, you get the younger players who are, you know, 10, 15, 20 years younger, faster, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coco made a great appearance in a Wimbledon.
Like, sure.
You know, but yeah, I would think that is still part of the mental in the back of her mind too. It's the, I'm getting older. And then you have all of these wonderful young players behind me who are doing quite well, who are challenging me, be it, you know, physically, whatever it is. But I mean, that's part of the game, right?
Yeah. And ironically, these are, you know, Serena is at the age where the young ladies playing now are inspired by her.
Right.
So
it's like,
that
I
it's like
win.
She's what her progeny are now coming for her crown.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's that she was a model. She, you know, they're like the fruit that born from the model and the standard she set.
Right.
So at all, you know, on some level, she's got to be ecstatic to see that her legacy continues. On another, it's like her legacies are coming for her neck.
Right. And I need to get to 25.
Right. Like, can y'all just hold off a year or two? Mama will be 40 soon.
Right.
I am. Just get, you know I need to. Come on.
I No, but outside of that, I mean, the talk about her and all of these other business and other interests that she has, and being an advocate for women and equality and everything and diversity in the game. I mean, it's not something she's just picked up yesterday. No. So this has been a part of her as a player the whole time she's been playing, and what she represents and acknowledging what she represents. Coming from where she came from, being an African-American woman, dominating this sport, right, and really just, you know, being a top professional athlete, man or woman. So, you know, I don't see just the other interest, whatever they are business-wise, and the celebrity of it all being as much as a distraction as it just being the mental of balancing where she is now physically.
Yeah, and you know, Billie Jean King, if anything, I think she's been a model for what Serena has done from an activism standpoint. I mean, she and Venus kind of took the mantle, kind of raised initially by Billie Jean King, around women's equality in tennis in particular.
Right.
So it's just kind of fascinating to me that Billie Jean King has this hot take now about how Serena should live her life. And, you know, that kind of the suggestion that she prioritized motherhood over wins. Perhaps that's the case. But to the extent that is, that's Serena's right. I mean, Serena doesn't owe us anything at the end of the day.
Not at all.
And it's particularly ironic given that, and it's her choice, Billie Jean King had an abortion back in the day. That was her right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, agree or disagree with it, that was her right. And similarly, Serena's made decisions about how she wants to live her life.
Right.
So I just think there's some, I don't know, I think there's a little hypocrisy in some of my understanding, at least, of Billie Jean King's comments. But, you know, from a well-roundedness standpoint, it absolutely makes sense for the Serenas and the other elite athletes of the world to have outside interests. Mm-hmm. It makes them more balanced and perhaps mm-hmm. more focused rather than less. So
right.
just be careful with that criticism.
Yes.
But we're wishing Serena all the best at the upcoming U.S. Open. I don't know. I know qualifying rounds, I guess they'll start the week before. Is that
I think so. I don't recall the exact schedule and timing of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that sounds accurate.
And from an educational standpoint, you are far more versed in tennis than I am. Does it work such that certain players are invited to U.S. Open just based on where they're ranked?
That is my understanding.
And then,
you know, some of the tournaments that are held beforehand, I think, can be
qualifying events. Okay.
That is my understanding.
Okay. So there are certain people who we know. I mean, I think, although we don't know exactly whom, I think it's safe to assume that all of our faves will make an appearance at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, so we should see Serena. Hopefully, we'll see Venus, yeah. And then you know we should see Federer, Nadal. Should see Djokovic.
Yeah, Naomi.
Naomi.
Halep.
Yeah.
Yeah, which. I'm scared of her now.
Oh, goodness.
She's
I know.
Not playing with people. Yeah, she was not playing with y'all. So,
not at all. She's coming for another title. So,
you know, yeah. And who can blame her? Who I don't want to see is Sharapova. And on that, like, I do have clarity around that. I did see where it's pretty dope that they're, what's the word? Erecting. An Althea Gibson statue out
That's
at
right.
the grounds the first week of the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be cool. It's long overdue.
Yes.
Long overdue. Because yes. I submit that if Margaret Court had ever had to face Althea Gibson, she wouldn't have gotten 24.
No.
She would not have gotten 24. But that's another tangent for another day. So moving on from tennis, the first few training days of the NFL have occurred.
Yep, training camp has begun.
We are actually back in football season, if you can believe that.
I know, it feels like it was so long ago when it ended.
Yeah, yeah.
But here we are. I think, you know, we've had some other things that have, other sports that have clearly kept us occupied and entertained.
Absolutely.
Had a great basketball postseason.
We did. And you know what? To your point, like, I was worried that about, you know, I always dread that lull, what's been historically a lull between the end of the NBA, like the NBA finals and the beginning of like training camps and Hall of Fame induction for NFL. But these 6 weeks, the 6 weeks in between, man, they have been, this year in particular, just between the Women's World Cup, the craziness and the frenzy of NBA free agency,
mm-hmm.
It hasn't felt like there's been any type of lull at all.
No. It's been a pretty active few months since,
absolutely,
since the Super Bowl.
And we hadn't even talked about women's soccer.
No.
But kudos to the team. I mean, everything that could be said has been said about them. But what they did was really special. And I think will ultimately help their legal case. So all the better.
Yeah. Agreed.
But back to the NFL. So training camps, foolishness. We have some holdouts, most notably Zeke Elliott and Melvin Gordon and Jadeveon Clowney,
mm-hmm.
being amongst the cats that are saying, until you run me my coins,
I will not run at all.
I will not be running. So you have any particular take on Zeke holding out on his money given some of his off the field issues?
So I should be surprised, but I'm not. So it's been a thing with him since he's been with the Cowboys. It seems like every year there is something surrounding him. And I understand, I'm all for players trying to get the money that they feel like they deserve, because I know it's not guaranteed and he doesn't know how long he's going to be playing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find it interesting giving everything and that surrounds him
right
off the field, that this is now the thing for the season, that, or at least for training camp, that he's holding out.
Yeah, this is it's fascinating to me. I will admit it. Like, it, you know, the and I know that ultimately at the end of the day, I think where we've landed is the NFL and teams, they're not really that concerned about the off the field behavior. So it's all about how you perform on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a superb and high performing player. And I think that's the only analysis, you know, that they're approaching this with. You know, it'd be great to see some self-awareness from him. Like, you're going to get your money, guy, but how about you show up just because it's one less thing that brings attention to you.
Right.
I'm all about player empowerment and utilizing their voices. I'm also about players having some self-awareness.
And he is one of those players who does not.
Yeah.
And one of those people.
Generally. Yes. I mean, we're talking, you know, he is to the NBA, the NFL, what Kyrie is to the NBA. Like, just as, the self-awareness meter just really isn't an activated.
No. No.
Instead of just coming on to camp, knowing you'll get paid, especially coming off the heels that, like, we're, you know, you just skated out of not getting punished for whatever happened between you and a security guard at outside of a concert. Just,
mm-hmm.
Come on, just show up, guy.
Just show up.
Yeah. Especially when you have like the Dax and the Amari Coopers of the world showing up and they're owed their money too now.
Right.
But I guess that's neither here nor there. You know, other players that are high performing but are showing up despite being, you know, their coins needed to be run to them. I mean, your guy, Julio. Oh, is it too soon?
No, it's not. it's not. I am a firm believer that Julio is owed so much. And so I admire him for for showing up and because of that. But it really goes back to, you know, how much they paid Matt Ryan for me.
So, right. I mean,
like, pay Julio. Pay the man.
Pay the man. Because you have Matty Ice. Matt Ryan hadn't been Matty Ice in years. But he's paid.
He is.
Handsomely.
Yes.
Handsomely. So she'll just run Julio his coins.
That's come all, on now. That's all, just, that's just, all anybody's
that's
asking.
All, that's all we're wanting. That's because all we're wanting.
As a Falcon, if that team is going anywhere, it will go with Julio.
It goes. Yeah.
He's not there. They're only going so far.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so, where their fortunes go, I mean, their fortunes go where he goes.
Right.
And so, yeah, I hope they get it together soon. It's not a good look, I think, for the Falcons. So hopefully they'll get it together and hopefully they'll have a better season than they did last season.
Well, yeah. It's definitely that. But I mean, I get just kind of going back to some of the holdouts. There is a part of me that understands, and I know there are some things in how the contracts get worked out, but we have too also already seen some injuries just starting out.
Yeah.
Training camp.
Yeah.
So I get the part of maybe for some of the players who are still holding out, there might be some, the risk involved. If I don't go ahead and get my money now, if I'm injured in training camp, what does that do? Or in preseason, what does that do? To my contract,
right,
or negotiations. So I get that part of it. I don't know. I'm not in that position, so. But it's interesting just how many injuries we've already seen. And I mean, training camp started a few days ago. Last week.
AJ Green's already gone down with some tears to his ligaments. Out maybe it's either 4 to 6 or 6 to 8 weeks. RG3. Injured his hand. It hit a helmet when he was when it went back to make a pass. So yeah, the injuries are starting to kind of mount up. So already, and not one official down has been played in the preseason.
Right.
So more to watch there as far as training camps. In addition to observing who's showed up to training camps and who hasn't, it's also been interesting to note how folks have shown up to training camps.
Yeah, so I'm trying to go back in memory as to how has this been a thing where you have to have this
flex?
Yeah, flex. A little bit, yeah, in
no,
essence.
It's crazy. No, it's
like
crazy.
As your intro to training camp?
I think it's a child primarily of the social media world we live in now and capturing those moments on your phones and having it widely published.
Yes, so we have moved from the days of just simply driving your vehicle to training camp to we had Antonio Brown show up in a hot air balloon.
He sure did. Yeah. And all Gruden could say was like, I hope he's safe. Yeah, okay, Gruden, just sit down somewhere. Sit down somewhere, Gruden. Like, you shouldn't even have that job. Like, let's... Ooh, I'm not going to go there. Jesus, no. There's not enough time.
No.
And then, and why am I blanking on Jalen?
Ramsey.
Ramsey, yes. That's the last name. I'm blanking on Jalen Ramsey. Shows up in a doggone Brinks truck in Jacksonville. And I know Tom Coughlin. Man, I'm not particularly a fan of his, but I have cackled. Imagining his reaction to that.
Right. It just feels like it goes against everything in him.
Oh,
and his
everything.
Coaching style and how his players just.
Oh, all of that.
Like in a Brinks truck.
And you know what he's saying is, you know what? I sure do miss Eli.
Right.
That's all he can say. I sure do miss
right.
Eli.
But yeah. I don't know.
So folks are finding brand new ways to present themselves at training camp.
Yes.
I guess we'll continue to see. I mean, I guess now that the first day are so days of the training camp are over, nobody is likely to show up particularly outlandishly the upcoming days. I think we have seen all we're going to see with outlandish appearances and arrivals at training camp. Do you have any too soon to call projections on who's making it to the Super Bowl?
Ooh, it is a little too soon for me.
Absolutely.
I know who I would prefer to not see.
I know who I'd prefer too, but you go first.
The New England Patriots.
Concur.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
I've been over it. I think it's well established.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to see the Chiefs come out of the AFC. And maybe, I don't know, on the NFC side.
I mean, I'd love to see the Falcons, but
you know, Matt Ryan.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know why in my head I'm like the Saints are in my head a little bit, but I don't know why that is. I mean, Mark Ingram's gone.
Yeah.
He's with the Ravens now.
They had a good run last year.
They did. I mean, Drew Brees is aging. I mean, as is Brady.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, I can always pull for Aaron Rodgers. That's my, you know.
I know that's your that's your fave.
That's my fave.
I actually think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, well, obviously he'll have a much better season than he did last season. New coach, coming off of an injury. We know he thrives off of kind of that chip on your shoulder piece. And there's been just enough talk about him in these streets here recently that I feel like that's a motivating factor for him.
Right.
And a motivated Aaron Rodgers, I don't, you know, that only benefits the Packers.
Agreed.
That only benefits the Packers. So, yeah, I mean, a Chiefs and Rodgers Super Bowl would work fine for me.
Yeah.
I mean, a Chiefs and, Mike, I'm just calling
the
team.
No, the
Chiefs and
Packers.
The Chiefs and the Packers.
No.
Because the Green Bay Rodgers. Yeah. Yeah, that would be dope. So, too early to call, but I would love to see the Chiefs. The Tyreek Hill thing, which we're not going to, just a rabbit hole. Maybe we can save that for another time. I like the Chiefs. So there that is. Well, that's about all that I'm seeing on our list of things to talk about. Do we want to get into our Black Girl Magic moment?
Yes, let's do that.
All right. And this week we have two, and I'm going to let you take the lead on them.
Okay, so our first one, and pretty recent, and we feel like very well deserving.
Yep.
First one is Kara Lawson.
Yep.
She is the latest woman headed to the NBA to coach, picked up and hired by the Boston Celtics as an assistant coach.
Good old Beantown.
Good old Beantown. So she's been an ESPN analyst. I know she was a TV analyst. Can't recall for what team. Played for Pat Summitt at Tennessee.
Okay.
Played 10 plus years as a point guard in the WNBA. So, and I want to.
So her bona fides are together.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
She's credentialed. She's credentialed.
If you need receipts, she has them.
She's got them. She's got them. Just all you got to do is ask for them.
Just ask and she will be happy to show you. So that's really exciting.
And indeed.
Yes. And then our second is Erica Wheeler.
Yep.
So she is a guard for the WNBA team Indiana Fever, WNBA just recently held their All-Star game.
That's right.
And she is the first undrafted WNBA player to win the All-Star MVP.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
So she's kind of grew up in Miami, kind of a one of the, I guess, a pretty rough neighborhood.
Liberty City.
Yep. Played at Rutgers under Coach Stringer.
Yes, and we are a fan here of Coach Stringer. Yes. So
yes, we are. And shout out to her for
indeed
that she will be coming back this season
off of medical leave.
So yeah, we're excited about that. Erica's mom passed her senior year or prior to her senior year in college. And so she kind of spent time since graduating from Rutgers playing overseas and then was signed by the Fever in 2016. So wanted to recognize both of them.
Yep.
Today.
Congratulations, ladies, for your recent accomplishments. We'll be keeping our eye out for you and wishing you nothing but more success. So congrats again. Well, we are headed, I mean, next week is August, Andrea, so we're about to be full, which, I mean, is so crazy that the year is passing the way it has, but we are fully headed back into NFL action, which means that, you know, obviously college action is right around the corner. So there'll probably be a little bit discuss around our projections on who we see doing what out of which conference. I hear that the Pac-12 may, there's some projections that they may make a little noise this season. We'll see about that, but baseball will be heating up. So we're going to have tons of stuff to talk about, the next time you all hear from us. So in the meantime, we hope you all have enjoyed us. As always, you can check us out, on any major, podcast platform. Hit us up, subscribe at Apple Podcasts, at Google Podcasts, at Spotify. We're pretty much on anyone that you might engage. So definitely subscribe to us. If you want to be a part of our ongoing conversations, come join us on Facebook. We have a group page, Black Girls Vibe Tribe. We'd love to have you be part of the conversation there. So if you want to come join us, just come on over and ask for an invite request, and we will happily bring you on in. So hopefully we will be hearing from you all soon on our platforms and on social media. And in the meantime, you all have a good one.